Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, live in L.A., hour two. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Good stuff. Later this hour, Mike Silver, very close friends with Aaron Rodgers. Brandon Marshall, Jim Boeheim, the tournament. T.J. Hushmanzada in 5 minutes, and Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy, I don't want to be seen as somebody picking on Mac Jones. I don't like that. I don't like to be perceived as picking on him. But now he's going to be a pro, so he's not a college guy anymore. So Mac Jones is now officially, he's a pro.
We're in the big opinion business.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. We do a whole segment on Mondays about it.
So Mac Jones worked out yesterday, the Alabama quarterback. And I've said this, is that, you know, parents, when I was a kid and I got divorced, I went through a bunch of kids' divorces, eight, mom, dad, a lot of divorces. And I can remember the first time I went to a therapist, he was in Las Vegas, really nice guy. And you go into this dark office and you sit down and I'm like, you know, listen, this is going to screw my life up, right? Like, it's the first time I ever thought about it. And I, you know, when you're like 17, 18, 19, you're playing with your buddies, you're playing high school sports, you're going to college. And all of a sudden I got out of college and I thought, I probably should see a therapist, right? All this divorce stuff. And I remember the guy saying, he sat me down, he goes, well, it's not all bad. He's like, you've had to overcome stuff. And he goes, you know, over the course of your life, that'll come in handy. It has not been a perfect linear experience for you. It's not a white picket fence. That's not what you grew up with. He goes, you're going to be resilient. You're going to be tough. You'll be able to overcome. A lot of kids can't. Life's been perfect. He goes, yours hasn't. It's not the worst. It's not the worst life. He goes, you had decent, you know, nice people. But he said, you know, you've had to overcome some stuff. And he goes, that's a good life quality. And I think about that when I think why Alabama quarterbacks don't work. Tua and A.J. McCarron. Jalen Hurts was not considered a pro prospect when he was at Alabama. Now he is out of, you know, Oklahoma. But here's a great example. This is why all these great quarterbacks who sign with these Ohio States and these USCs and these Alabamas don't become great pros. Because it's not a real experience. You don't have to overcome. Think about this. Here's the colleges of the eight division winners, quarterbacks, last year. For my radio audience, Wyoming, Miami of Ohio, Texas Tech, Old Dominion, Cal, Texas A&M, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Not exactly football powers. Texas A&M thinks they are. They're not. Wisconsin's good, not great. That is where all, by the way, the Cal guy went to a junior college. The Texas A&M guy started as a wide receiver. Okay? That's not random. That's not unique. That's the way the league works. Is if Dak Prescott, go back Mississippi State, terrible offensive line, got the crap beat out of him for multiple years at Matt Ryan, no NFL players, Phillip Rivers, NC State. So when I look at Mac Jones, never trailed in the second half of any game this year. Wide receivers, three of them, pro players. Offensive line, best in the sport. I remember when Matt Leinart came out of USC, and he stayed in an extra year. And a lot of people criticized him. They're like, oh my God, well, why wouldn't you come out and you're giving up money you could never get back? And I remember talking about this on the air at the other place. I was like, I think he's got a better life. Like, USC was so dominant, he rarely got hit. He was the big man on campus. There was no pro NFL team in town. I'm like, yeah, I get why he comes back. He's living the life. Great-looking kid, dominating college football, cover of magazines. Like, why go out a year early to a terrible team? Go enjoy your college experience. Like, I get it. When you play quarterback at Alabama, it's a very enjoyable experience. You always lead. You always have the best coach. You always have the best or second best offensive line. You never trail. There's rare crises. I don't think that's the way you get ready for the NFL. I just don't think it is. I think Drew Brees was overlooked, and Tom Brady had to sit on the bench. And it just, I mean, the last quarterback who was like a blue blood that worked was Peyton Manning. Great in high school, great in college, great in the NFL. Like, yeah, it was all perfect. We knew he was going to be great, and he's great. I mean, Cam Newton went to Ben Junior College down in the South. That's just the way it works. So I do have my questions with Mac Jones. Now, again, if he goes and gets Kyle Shanahan, all bets are off. Or he gets Belichick, all bets are off. We know that he's going to have good offensive lines with those two coaches. But I do think there is something to be said for struggling early in your life and it being of great advantage later in life. And I know, you know, as a parent, I'm always like, oh, I want my kids to have a better life than I did. And I think they do. But I don't want to, I don't want them to turn every corner, have crown molding and granite countertops. I'm not buying you a new car. I'm going to buy a used car. And you're going to have to go to the shop and take yourself there. And your first apartment complex out of college should not be beautiful. Mine wasn't. it's like, take out your own garbage. It should, I don't think grooving somebody's life, in the moment it feels great, but it doesn't set you up for the hardships of life. And I don't think it sets you up for what the NFL is. The NFL is hard. It is hard. It's hard on a good team. I mean, Brady's screaming at people in New England, get open. In Alabama, everybody's always wide open. With that, TJ Hushmanzada is joining us. By the way, the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Sub. Be a sub above. TJ is joining us now, 11 years in the NFL. Joining us live. By the way, you're a great example of this because you didn't have a perfect experience. You're a great example of this. Go back to your NFL career. You were an overcomer, weren't you? Weren't you an overachiever?
Well, people would like to say I was an overachiever. I agree with that to a certain extent. But to be honest with you, I just say they evaluated me wrong.
I like that. So are my concerns with Mac Jones, and you've worked with a lot of these college quarterbacks, that he's never trailed in the game. He's got the best coach. He never gets hit. It's a little Matt Leinart where it's like, yes, it's a beautiful experience if you play at USC in their prime or Alabama. Should people be concerned that it's been a very easy collegiate experience?
You should have some concerns. And for me, the biggest concern is this. You look at last year, Henry Ruggs, and then Jerry Jeudy, and then this year, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddell. That's four receivers that probably get drafted in the top 15. I don't know if there's any quarterback in the history of college football that has ever played with four receivers in consecutive drafts and they go in the top 15. All four. I don't know if that's happened. And the offensive line in Alabama is fantastic. They don't do that much damage in the league, but to have that type of talent at the receiver position, at the skill position, in college football, and then probably Najee Harris is going to go in the first round. So his skill guys are all first-round guys. He'll probably go into the league playing with less talent around him than he had at Alabama.
Oh, God, no question. Oh, that's not even a debate. There's no way. If he went to New England tomorrow, Bama's got better receivers than New England. That's not even a debate.
Oh, that's cold.
I mean, nothing against Kendrick Bourne, but, I mean, we're talking about great, great players. So, it's interesting. The Giants went out and they spent a ton on Kenny Galladay and Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson doesn't make a lot of plays in the ball. That seems like a big contract for him. I want your opinion on free agency. I kind of like the way New England did it. Spread it around. No huge contracts. Get hardworking players who fit into your scheme. The Giants look like they're trying to solve their issues through free agency, like get a star here and get a star there. And I just don't think that's how you use free agency. I think it's there to add depth I think the draft and developing is the way to go. Your takeaway and doing what the Giants are doing, which is like literally getting their number one receiver and their number one corner and solving their issues in free agency.
I tend to agree with you on that. If I'm going to go after a free agent and I look at just specifically this year, I'm going after a Trent Williams. He's proven commodity. I know what I'm going to get out of him. And you specifically talk about the Giants and you say Kenny Galladay. The only thing that concerns me is about that. Number one, I'm not giving him $18 million a year. I'm just not doing it. Number two is Kenny Galladay is a big guy, great hands, great body control, but he does not create separation. He played with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford played with Calvin Johnson, who got used to throwing up jump balls because my receivers win those battles because he was conditioned because of Megatron. Now, Kenny Golladay is going to go with Daniel Jones, a young quarterback who's not used to throwing those 50-50 balls. When he doesn't have separation, is Daniel Jones going to throw that ball? I say he's not. He's really not open in my eyes. He doesn't have a separation. So this marriage might not end well because Daniel Jones is going to have to throw the ball up when Kenny Golladay is covered in trust. He's going to come down with this. And I'm just not giving a guy that doesn't create a ton of separation $18 million a year. I'm not doing it.
By the way, this is a great point because I talked to Jason Garrett about this. So what the Giants keep telling Daniel Jones is cut down on the turnovers, cut down. Like that's what he's hearing. Well, you're not going to throw up 50-50 balls if you know Jason Garrett and Joe Judge are going to chew you because you threw up a 50-50 ball and lost. Because the whole Daniel Jones' whole thing is we know he's big enough. We know his arm's good enough. We know he's athletic. He turns the ball over a ton. So to your point is Matt Stafford was conditioned to throw the jump ball up. Big contract, big talent, not fearful of that. Daniel Jones, if he's not good by Thanksgiving, he's gone. They're going to move on. Like, they've got too many good players around. I think it's a very, very good point. Here's another one. So Juju Smith-Schuster went to the market and didn't do anything and came back and got a bad contract. And tell me, you know, some people say he's too goofy and silly on Instagram. Other people say, you know, he's a two, he's a three, he's not a one. Like, you know receivers. Why wasn't there a market for him?
Early on, and I was telling the guys, you know, we're out here training, and I'm like, if Juju doesn't sign in the first 2 to 3 days, he doesn't have out there what he's looking for. And Juju's another guy. I love him to death. He's a great human being. He's a great person, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the game of football. He doesn't create separation. He's a guy that the Steelers scheme him open. They put him in a slot. They motion him. They stack him, and they scheme him open. And once AB left, and the focus went on to Juju, he was still productive, but nowhere near the production that was expected of him. And so he saw that everybody else was watching his film with the lack of offers that he was getting at the price that he wanted. And so for him, it comes to Chase Claypool is going to be the AB, and hopefully Juju can be the guy behind him. But it's exactly what you said. He can't create the separation. The Steelers know that, and all the other teams watching the film as well. They see the same thing we see.
So it's very interesting. Brett Favre actually had his best year in a decade when the Packers let go of him. He was 13-3, a Pro Bowl, let him go. Aaron just had his best year in about a decade. And if you look at the contract situation today that's being reported, is they gave him a signing bonus, and the reason they gave it to him that way is so it clears up space next year and the year after. And Aaron is concerned that he's going to go in as a lame duck quarterback. And I was saying to myself, fit matters. If I look at your personality, you fit better. You're a grown-up. You fit better in Baltimore than Cincinnati. Cincinnati ran a juvenile football operation, and it drove you nuts. It drove you and Carson Palmer nuts. You were built, actually, to play for Baltimore, who does things the right way. And you're very meticulous on the way you were a receiver. And I look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and I'm like, listen, this is a small town. They're not into big money. They're not into big ego. And they're not into big celebrity. And is it just possible, just like Favre, Green Bay is like, listen, man, we develop players. You're getting needy and expensive. Like, I look at this Aaron Rodgers stuff. I swear to God, TJ, every 2 weeks there's a story. Like, they just don't fit perfectly, right?
You know what happens, though? This is what, I don't know if anybody's talking about this. When you have no OTAs, you don't have organized team activities. How is Jordan Love supposed to improve as a player? He doesn't get those reps. Aaron Rodgers is sitting here like, there's no OTAs, give me a contract. He can't improve, Colin. There's no way you can get the training camp and say, oh, we're going to give Jordan Love all these reps. Once the season starts, he's running scout team. He doesn't improve there. The young guys improve in OTA. So all the vets are saying, let's keep this going. No OTAs. And Aaron knows this. We don't have OTAs. Give me a contract because there's no way he's going to get better. He's not going to be better than me by the end of the 2021 season. You guys know that. And I know that. And so pay me now or I'm going to be a problem. And that's all it is. Yeah, the Packers do a hell of a job developing guys. But without OTAs, who's developing them?
That's a great point. You made some very good points today. By the way, TJ is in his new house. He literally had to sit through. Were you in a hotel for a year or something?
Well, I was might have been in a hotel, a small apartment. And that's what happens when you get a bad builder out the gate.
Let's not name names. I don't want to be liable for anything here. By the way, TJ's got LeVar Arrington and Plaxico Burress have Up on Game. It's a new podcast. He's also on Fox Sports Radio, full of wisdom and information. Great seeing you, buddy.
You guys take care. Thank you.
All right, good stuff. Mike Silver, of friends of Aaron Rodgers. That's a really good point. Aaron's sitting there like, there's no practice. What are you going to do? Give me money.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sunday, the best season ever continues as the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Bristol for the first dirt track race in 50 years. The action starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on Fox and anywhere on the Fox Sports app.
So they're driving on dirt.
Dirt track race.
You know that NASCAR, they used to be on beaches.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
You can still drive on the beach in Daytona.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
You can race. Drink there, too.
You can drink on most beaches. You don't act ridiculous.
So we were talking about this morning is that, there's a reason I talk about quarterbacks. They're just so important, right? And everybody wants a franchise quarterback. But the reality is every single year, Joy, it's about eight teams a year looking for a quarterback. And I always think, you know what, saturation point, and it never is. There's going to be like eight teams next year that need it. This is why I've said that Marcus Mariota should not take a pay cut in the Raiders. He should just go to the market. Just, hey, I'll go to the market, and I'll see. And trust me, somebody's going to pay Marcus Mariota money. He's more talented than Andy Dalton. He's a playmaker. I thought he was a much better fit in Washington and Chicago. But Jimmy Garoppolo gets a lot of discussion about what's he worth. And, we know so many stories have leaked. They're not in love with him. Here's the simplest way, not to bore you, but the simplest way I look at quarterbacks is this. If you have a top 12 quarterback, you've got your guy. Doesn't mean they're not getting old and you couldn't draft somebody. But if you got a top 12 quarterback, that's not your issue. Don't worry. That's not a first round pick. That's why Green Bay's pick is pretty dubious. Then there's like 13 to about 2021 where there's something there where I would always kind of be looking to upgrade. Although you can get to the playoffs with that person. Especially when that person's on a rookie contract. And I'll give you an example. Here's the actual order I would rate quarterbacks currently in my eyes in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is one. Highest passer rating in league history. Brady's won more Super Bowls than any other franchise. Aaron Rodgers, only player in league history, 400 touchdown passes, fewer than 100 picks. For Russell Wilson, only quarterback NFL history, winning record first 9 years. And Josh Allen, a freak. Just an arm-running size freak. After that, there's three gifted guys, Deshaun, Matt Stafford, and Lamar. Deshaun has the highest completion percentage in league history. Stafford's got a hose. Guy's got a brilliant arm. It's like NFL record for come-from-behind wins. And Lamar Jackson is the fastest quarterback to win 30 games. He's the fastest human to ever play the position. Then after that, rounding out my 12, I think he got some young stars. Justin Herbert broke every quarterback record for a rookie behind the lowest-graded offensive line in the league. The kid is an absolute once in a franchise stud. Kyler Murray, ascending. He gave you a touchdown pass and a touchdown run in 9 games. Again, not a great offensive line, and we don't even know if he has a good coach. Then I would say Matt Ryan, Derek Carr. Listen, Matt Ryan loses shootouts. Matt Ryan's gotten to a Super Bowl, led in the fourth quarter. Matt Ryan's been an MVP, only quarterback with 4,000 passing yards each of his last 9 years. He is a very good B-plus quarterback, and I like Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr needs protection. But there's my 12. After that, everybody's got something that worries me. But I think, again, they're certainly capable of getting to the quarterbacks. I'd put Dak Prescott at 13, but in the last 4 years, He can't beat good teams, 7-18. The more they depend on Dak, the less they win. I'd put Jimmy Garoppolo. He can't stay healthy. Ryan Tannehill struggles against good teams. Carson Wentz, a lot of turnovers and inconsistent. Joe Burrow got hurt, still question marks. Baker Mayfield, 44 picks, more picks than any quarterback in the league since he entered the league. Kirk Cousins, 5-24 against winning teams in the last 4 years. His ceiling's low. Ben Roethlisberger, he's old. Jared Goff has got a real turnover issue and, frankly, doesn't play well when there's any mud or chaos in the pocket. I'm not going to rank anybody after that. I'm not going to rank rookie quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks right now. I don't know what to do with Sam Darnold. But to me, here's how I look at Garoppolo. He's in that next group, got to a Super Bowl, but he's always hurt. And 1 through 12, that's why when the Raiders talk about Derek Carr, Derek Carr's not your issue. He's your life preserver. Matt Ryan's not your issue in Atlanta. You're losing shootouts because you got no athletes in your front seven. But that's just kind of the simple way I look at quarterbacks. If you're 1 through 12, don't worry about your quarterback unless he gets old. Don't worry about it. Solve other stuff. 13 through 21, there's probably something you should be concerned about. Now, Dak is there, so it's not going to matter. But it does worry me, the more they depend on Dak, even with those great offensive pieces, the less they win. The more Zeke early, the more they won. The less Zeke, the more Dak, the less they win against good teams. That does worry me. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. Carson Wentz, turnover machine. Last year couldn't complete like screen passes. So there you go. So Garoppolo, I have Garoppolo and that Dak-Tannehill thing. Tannehill was like a couple years ago, had a great playoff run. They beat Lamar Jackson. He can play. But I would probably be looking to upgrade. I don't see him as my future. Simple as that. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Lakers have been struggling without LeBron and Anthony Davis in the lineup and lost 128-111 to the Pelicans last night. They'll be missing their top two players for a little longer as they both battle injuries. And Kyle Kuzma says the team has to figure out a way to be successful without them.
This team, it was constructed for playing off of LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, you know, for us, you know, we got to switch the script and, you know, shoot more threes and get up and down more and have more pace and play together. That's the challenge that we have right now.
Well, they've lost three in a row.
Well, their defense, it's amazing the impact of LeBron. Even without AD, the defense was ranked number one in the league. LeBron left, it's down to like 18th. Like, it's amazing the communication, the kind of backbone LeBron is to the defense. We don't think about LeBron in defense anymore, but their defense without LeBron, it's a bad defense.
Well, you lose to your two best players, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
When your two best players that you use are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that's... It's pretty significant. Montrezl Harrell was leading scorer against the Pelicans last night with 18 points and 6 rebounds. Kyle Kuzma added 16, 10, and 7. And Dennis Schroeder added 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists.
What do you make all the headbands with the Lakers? Are you a headband person? A lot of headbands on this roster now. I think they lead the NBA in that category.
They lead the NBA in
that KCP wore one. Morris wear, let's see, Caruso wears one.
Caruso does wear one. I think that might be an aesthetic.
It used to be one guy in the league, Slick Watts. Remember that in the 70s? Anybody remember?
Well, LeBron was a headband guy for a very long time.
Yeah, he was. A couple years. He had a receding hairline he wasn't proud of. He was covering stuff up.
He was a big headband guy, so maybe that's where it's from. I don't know. Headbands don't bother me.
All right, just
I've
asking.
I've never been a headband person.
I think women look great. I was an
armband, like the Allen Iverson armband person.
Don't you think it looks good when women wear like
headbands?
Yeah, kind of stylish sort of hair flying over a thing.
It's cute. It's a look.
It's a look.
Yeah.
You sound like my daughter. Daughter doesn't like something I wear, she goes, "Oh, Dad, it's a look."
No, I like headbands.
Okay.
They don't. I've just never been a huge headband.
Shoulder
person.
Pads and headbands. They deserve both to come back.
I mean, I wear shoulder pads. I'm a big fan of shoulder pads. So wide receiver Will Fuller signed a one-year, $10.6 million deal with the Dolphins in free agency. He was having the best season of his career before a suspension ended it after 11 games. And he took a shorter deal to show that his production in 2020 wasn't a fluke. He said, "I feel like I won taken 1 year just to prove my worth in the league. I've had my fair share of injuries. I've been working really hard. I just want to prove to the NFL, to the Dolphins, for taking a chance on me, that I'm a player they would love to have long term.
Boy, that dude can run. God, he is fast.
He had 53 receptions, 879 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
He's a player.
Last season.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's really good.
Yes, he's never played an entire 16-game season, and he will miss week one next year due to the suspension for PEDs, which he says was random and will not happen again. I think a lot of players are taking these shorter deals. I think it was Albert Breer who said it with us yesterday.
No, I mean, it's to prove yourself.
Well, it's also with the cap being different this year. That's just kind of how a lot of teams are going to have to manipulate it. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. And like in this case, you want to come in and prove yourself and, you know, maybe don't push for the long-term deal in this situation. There might be more money available next year. And obviously, free agency is... Listen, exploded for the NFL.
The Rams would have taken Will Fuller in a second. They just couldn't afford him. There's always, right. If you're one of the 5 fastest receivers in the league, there is always a space available. DeSean Jackson is still playing.
Yeah.
Just simply, he can't stay healthy. He can burn.
I think, and especially if you don't have to be the number one receiver. That's right. Not what the team is looking for. And if they're going to move forward with Tua, you want to put as many good pieces around him as possible, even if you do have to spend money. So Washington will play under the name Washington Football Team for at least one more season. It was considered a temporary solution, but now it could be permanent. Team president Jason Wright said people warmed up to the name in 2020, and he wants the fans to feel like the name is a continuation of the team's history and not a total reset.
By the way, I'm not opposed to this. It almost feels European, right?
Like I actually like it.
So do I.
I like it. I did. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, so we're just not going to try it all. But then, but then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, if you're moving away from the team name,
right,
and you're not sure what you want to do long term, it actually doesn't make sense to just give them another nickname and then change it in 2 years. So, you know, this was an appropriate kind of stand-in name, temporary name, until they rebranded. But I do actually like it. Like, it has a little, you know, to your point, like a kind of soccer team feel to it.
Listen, years ago, when I grew up, it was called the Washington Bullets. And then because of violence in America, they said, that's no good. And then they went to the Washington Wizards. I've never met a wizard in D.C. There's been some politicians who can do magical things. But it's like, I never liked, like, to me, you should have just gone, I like the idea. Instead of trying to find another clever nickname, of which there's very few good ones.
Right.
I like the idea of just...
It has a little bit of, like, a regalness to it.
Exactly. Washington Football Team.
I like it. It feels actually very old school. So that's his point. Like, it's kind of a... It's not like a total move off of brand of Washington.
Every name's taken.
Yeah.
Every name... There's no clever nicknames... I mean,
it has to be really strong, too. I mean, this is the NFL. Like, brands are very important, and people get attached to them. That's why this renaming took as long as it did to begin with, even though it shouldn't have. But I actually like it. I think they should move forward with it. Also, Dan Snyder is buying out the team's minority investors, so he will gain almost complete control of the franchise once the deal is finalized. So if you're a Washington Football Team fan, you can make of that what you will. You saw that James Dolan kicked out a fan for wearing the... what did the fan say? What did the shirt say?
Last night?
Yeah, something about getting rid of Dolan. And he got removed. For wearing a shirt, yeah.
Listen, there are good owners.
Van Dolan shirt.
There's good owners and bad owners, just like there's good pilots and bad pilots.
We just got fans back in the arenas. We just got fans back.
Let's kick one out.
For wearing a Van Dolan shirt. It's amazing. You know what, though? Can't say he's not consistent.
You know, I've seen...
But you're going to get there.
He's a guy, I have seen him at more events than any owner in any sport in America. I've been to 6 different events, and James Dolan's in the suite. I've been to boxing matches, UFC fights, concerts. James Dolan, every week...
He's very wealthy.
He's living a very big life.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just the shirt should be okay. We just got fans back in the arena. But I like the Washington Football Team name.
So do I. Think we should keep it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So, Mike Silver is an NFL reporter of some esteem, and he's a Cal guy, so he's connected to Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, It's a very funny relationship. Like, they bailed on Favre off his best year, and the Aaron thing is, I don't think we did this like a year ago. Aaron Rodgers feels like a quarterback for an LA football team. He's always felt like that. He's cool. He's handsome. He's kind of glib. He's kind of snarky. Like, he feels like the Rams quarterback. And it's like Green Bay is an odd fit. They're kind of anti-celebrity, Midwest work ethos. Not that Aaron doesn't ingratiate himself to the community. He does. He's done a great job of that, actually. He's done a great job. He's a part Buck owner, and he's at Badger games. But, I mean, like, if you look at the history of Wisconsin basketball and football, they choose their own. They don't go outsiders much. I mean, that's what they're comfortable with, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to bring on Mike Silver next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
He's a well-connected, longtime NFL columnist. Used to write at Sports Illustrated and said, I'm better than that. NFL.com, Mike Silver, NFL Network. I've known him for a long time. All right, Silver, let's join us live. He's a Cal Bear, so he knows all these Bears. He knows Goff and Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, listen, it's... when the Packers moved off Favre back in 2007, hell, he had his best year in a decade. He was a Pro Bowler. He went 13-3, and they just got tired of his expense, of his neediness. Aaron can be a little prickly. I don't think he's needy. But I do think it's a weird relationship, and it can be passive-aggressive on both sides. But here's my question to you, because you know Aaron very well. It's the only franchise without an owner. I like an owner. It's the only franchise that really doesn't aggressively pursue free agents. Why is Aaron... is he insistent on staying? I think Aaron's actually a better fit in multiple places. But there is a sense that he wants to be a Packer for life. And I always think, why? He'd be great on the open market.
Well, we may find out. You know, I think he's really aligned with the coaching staff. And so flashback to a year ago when the trade was made to draft Jordan Love in the first round, which was literally the only aggressive move the Packers made in the entire offseason. And I think what happened is the coaches pledged their allegiance to Aaron and vice versa, and they kind of formed an alliance. And it obviously was fortified by what happened on the field. And you had no crowd noise. It was almost unfair from the get-go. Aaron Rodgers just surgically picking apart opposing defenses and obviously putting together an incredible season. Then you get in a game that would decide the NFC, and you've got a team with Tom Brady that loaded up around him, as one should when you have a rare opportunity to have a generational quarterback. And, you know, the Packers could not prevail. So I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, in the wake of that, you're thinking, you guys, like, maybe load up around me and worry about the future later. And I know people whine about the cap. This is the one year I'll even entertain that talk because there was an appreciable drop because of the pandemic. But we've seen the TV deals and the data deals. Like, this is, it's going to shoot right back up. And by the way, yes, mortgage your future. Who cares? Figure it out later. You only have Aaron Rodgers for so long. You've had back-to-back first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks for three decades, and you've got two rings to show for it. So one way that they could have freed up some cap space and clarified Aaron Rodgers' future is to restructure his deal, do some cap tricks, but it would make it harder to move on from him after this year. And the fact that that hasn't happened yet tells me that they're not super willing to do that, which I think if you are Aaron Rodgers, tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Like, they keep doing the same. They couldn't keep Corey Linsley, which, by the way, they got him in the fifth round, so they never paid him a nickel. And then by the time you had to pay him a little, they're like, no, we're not interested. Like, when people, what's the old Maya Angelou? People show you who they are. You know, believe them. The Packers have shown Aaron what they are. It's like, it's time to move on now. You know Jared Goff as well, very well, Cal guy. And it was funny because I always thought it was kumbaya, and then it turned ugly, like public ugly, like week 12 last year. Was there a moment, like, why did it get so ugly so fast with Goff and McVay?
That's a great question. And McVay is a Miami of Ohio guy, but I love him dearly too. So it sucks when two people you're close to and really admire are not clicking. And it had clicked really, really well. So what happened? I believe that Sean got more frustrated at, you know, after the Super Bowl season, the offense was not able to have its way with other teams as easily. And there are a lot of reasons for that, including Todd Gurley's physical drop-off. There were some issues with the line. And I think, you know, Sean needed to evolve offensively, and he'd been ahead of the curve. And he felt, as he was trying to evolve, that Jared was not coming along. But he would express that at times to Jared and conspicuously. And I don't think that worked well, both in terms of how Jared responds to coaching best and in terms of the way other people around saw it. And so he lost some swag and then became a little concerned about making mistakes. And you got into situations last year where it was really bubbling over, and then he'd make a mistake and it would get worse. And finally, he clearly just snapped and was ready to roll with John Wolford with the season on the line. Now, I saw it from the outside. I was really shocked. You know, I'm like, look, this guy's coming back 12 days after thumb surgery, no reps, and gets thrown into a playoff game in Seattle and plays well enough to get a victory. And obviously the Seahawks had their own problems going on. I mean, really, instead of that playoff game, we should have just had a giant group therapy session with Sean, Jared, Russell, Pete, and some really good therapists. But, you know, I am shocked that it degenerated that quickly. And to the point where I think Sean was so hell-bent on moving forward without him that they arguably overpaid in a trade for a quarterback that he clearly thinks is better.
And by the way, he keeps losing to Kyle Shanahan, and those are considered the two best young coaches, so there's a little vanity at play here. Speaking of that, explain this to me, Silver, because I don't get it. Sam Darnold's young, athletic, strong, no market. Explain it to me. Andy Dalton in Chicago, that's the answer. Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's the answer. What's up with Darnold? Is he disappeared into the ether? Explain it to me.
I think there will be a market because there have been a bunch of teams that were kind of either waiting on Russell Wilson or Watson. That's a very convoluted situation now. So waiting on Watson was always tricky. Are we going to be the ones? Now you've got to take other things into account, obviously. And so who knows? So I think he's going to be an option for someone. I believe the Jets will end up taking Zach Wilson and trading him to somebody. As far as the Bears, I honestly think they made the best of the situation. You know, they went nuts trying to get Russell. Didn't happen. Deshaun was not going to be resolved. And I think if you're looking at that pool, if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and your future's on the line this season, are you trusting Sam Darnold, who you like his attributes, but he might be broken? You know, we just don't know. And by the way, same with Carson Wentz, but at least Frank Reich can assess that, saying, well, I know this guy and I've had success with him. Maybe I can unbreak him. Sam Darnold is broken right now. You think you can fix him, but are you entrusting your future? Whereas a team like the 49ers, I think, which wants an answer in case Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt at the very least, might say, you know what, if we could get Sam Darnold and let him compete with Jimmy, and maybe he doesn't win that job, but we could get him in our system, you know, he could be an answer eventually. I do think there will be suitors. By the way, on the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan thing, very good read on that. I'd take it a step further. Matt LaFleur, who's intertwined with those guys, Sean, you know, goes and watches Matt LaFleur with the greatest quarterback on earth, and every play Matt LaFleur calls turns to gold with Aaron Rodgers running it. And Sean's like, well, I called a great play, and it's not happening the way I wanted. So, and again, I kind of come down a lot on the Goff perspective here. I'm just telling you what I think Sean's perspective is.
Yeah, no, I think, listen, when you're a young coach and you're competing in a division with Shanahan and he keeps beating you and LaFleur's getting the conference championships and you think you're better than both, I get it. Like, I get young coaches and egos and they're highly compensated and Sean was a rock star and feels like nobody's keeping up on a quarterback. All right, Mike Silver, NFL Network. He's all over Twitter and that stuff, that social media stuff for the young kids. All right, Silver, good talking to you.
Colin, thanks for having me, brother.
You bet. At Mike Silver. Jersey Mike's Month of Giving, 200 charities across America they aid. Go to their local store and help or visit jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. I've showed real restraint today. I just had a couple of bites on my sandwich. I'm really showing discipline. I moved into a new neighborhood, and I have found a new Italian restaurant. It is so old school.
Isn't that fun?
Only thing it's missing is mobsters. It is so old school. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
It's just the best.
What did you get your...
last night.
Your melatonin, your chicken parm?
I got, yeah, of course. I got chicken parm, a little tiramisu, and
you
went home.
You love tiramisu.
Oh, love it. Best thing ever made. Ever in the country, next to bridges.
I don't think tiramisu is from our country, but yes.
Isn't it?
No.
All right. We borrowed it. Power 3 next.